This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Readers.com is your one-stop shop for quality reading glasses with over 700 styles under $20. Readers.com offers bifocal readers, reading sunglasses, computer readers, and more with powers from 1.0 to 6.0. With free shipping on orders over $30, friendly customer service, and easy returns, you are sure to find your perfect pair. Enter the coupon code BUCK at checkout for 30% off your next order. That's Readers.com. Happy eyes, happy wallet.
The Buck Sexton Show.
Philip Smith of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He specializes in armed Shia groups, and we're talking about what happened in Iraq recently. So Muqtada al-Sadr, he's a bad dude. He started this Jaish al-Mahdi, which has the blood of U.S. soldiers on its hands, as well as many Iraqis guilty of war crimes in Iraq. Now it's been rebranded. Most recent news is in the last couple of days, they stormed the Green Zone. They went into Parliament. The actual parliamentarians fled. People are asking, what's next? Philip, what are the chances? And people, we often talk about the violence in the context of what the Islamic State is doing. The worst violence in Iraq back in the old days when the U.S. was in control of the country was sectarian. I mean, that was actually where a majority of the violence was coming from. Are we heading back towards that now? Could you see a return to armed violence with Shia groups like the Jaish al-Mahdi becoming sectarian death squads again?
Well, we're already seeing that, and not necessarily just from the so-called peace companies of Muqtada al-Sadr. The Iranian-backed Shia militias in the country are some of the strongest armed forces that are there. And what have they been doing? Ethnically cleansing villages, taking young men out of the villages and shooting them, or detaining them, claiming that they're all ISIS. I think half the problem is when you're kind of hyper-focused just on ISIS all the time, it makes it very, very easy for other extremist elements, namely these Iranian-backed groups, to go through there and essentially push their own radicalism. And no one's really talking about this. I think one of the bigger issues is what happens after ISIS, what happens after this prospective battle in Mosul. And it's not just going to be a return to sectarian problems, and the sectarian problems are already there, but there's also possibly going to be far more intra-Shia violence that's going on while these groups are jockeying for different levels of influence and different levels of power.
How true do you would you rank the statement that the government and Baghdad is just a proxy of Iran at this point?
I think there are different elements within the Iraqi government that are more opposed to the Iranians, and I think at times even Muqtada al-Sadr is opposed to the Iranian government. So it's not really a cut-and-dry, black-and-white kind of situation. But if we're seeing what's, basic facts on the ground, if we're talking about the strongest armed element in the country, and when I say element, it's a multitude of different elements, it's the Iranian-backed Shia militias. And they have political parties that run, run for parliamentary elections, that have people in parliament. So you tell me, it's slowly moving in that long-term approach that the Iranians always take of eventually sucking in that country and trying to turn it into a complete proxy. Don't get me wrong, the United States still does have a good level of influence, but that influence has been hurt quite a bit by Iranian moves. I mean, they are really the ones on the ground who are calling the shots, and it's something that we really can't ignore because, again, these are elements that are not just attacking ISIS. They also believe, they actually have pushed this ideological message that the United States is backing ISIS, number one, and then number two, that we are no better. We are the great Satan, and we need to be countered. So what happens when they get sick of American troops on the ground?
They're going to come after us. They're going to come after us like they did before. Just so everyone listening is clear, on the one hand, you have the Shia militants telling their people that the United States is backing ISIS. And on the other hand, you have ISIS telling Sunnis that we're backing Shia death squads to kill them, right? I mean, so we're caught in between these two sectarian factions that are blaming, at some level, the United States for everything that's going on.
Generally speaking, that's how it's going. Even when there's more malleable Shia militia elements that are there that may even deal with the United States, even those kind of narratives still persist. I mean, there was a recent survey, and it was a little low for me when I saw it, that said one-third of Iraqis believe that the United States is supplying ISIS, in some grand conspiracy. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, before we go into a break here, Philip, I want to ask you, we got about a little over a minute and a half, so I hope that's enough time. I wanted to ask you, are we heading back towards a sectarian civil war in Iraq?
Well, again, I actually think we're already technically in it. And it's not just going to be one that pits Sunnis against Shia. You now also have the different Kurdish elements that are fighting different Shia militia elements, particularly those backed by the Iranians. So it's you know, devolving into a much more anarchic kind of atmosphere than anything else. The sectarianism is always there. It hasn't really gone anywhere. I mean, the biggest thing for me is there's not a lot of coverage of this in the media because, again, we're kind of hyper-focused on ISIS. And so we don't really
know. Yeah, no one's saying that it's in the middle of a sectarian civil war. No major media outlet. You'd agree with me there, right? That's, no one is saying that. That's not being said right now.
Well, because we're already in one. It actually, right. I mean, there were ebbs and flows to this since the American presence in the country. And when you have different forces that are trying to entrench themselves and take different pieces of geography, well, what do you expect? I mean, this comes with the territory. I mean, I worry a few steps down the down the lane where, you know, we're going to start seeing maybe Shia Kurdish conflict, you know, different little sparks of it here and there, and we've already seen it. But again, this conflict is very, very complex, and it doesn't just involve Iraq, it also involves Syria. It's a region-wide conflict, but with little hints of localism here and there. It's very, very complicated, and I know, you know, for your average person who's looking at this, they're going, what in the name of God is going on here? And it's very, very hard to really explain it because of, you know, everything that's going on, all the complexity.
All right, Philip Smith, Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Really appreciate your time. Hope you'll come back soon.
Hey, thank you, and thank you for having me.
The founder of this company, 10 years ago, was trying to sell his house and went through real estate agent after real estate agent, and they were all talking a great game. And this guy who is selling his house, the founder of this company, he's, you know, he's kind of an important guy and kind of, you know, should get the best treatment. And he said to his wife, if this is what it's like for us, how do people who have no clout ever get around this? So he started a company, and it went into business, I think, 3 years ago. Their deal is, their word is their bond, and they are just like you. Now, how can I say that? Because I'm the founder of the company. We have 1,000 agents across the country, and they are people that listen to this show. And so when you go through Real Estate Agents I Trust, it's sent to somebody who already, you already know their sensibilities. They already are cut from exactly the same cloth. There's got to be a better way. There is. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.